Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. We have a massive slate for you on Friday, January 9th. We are recording this at 10:15 a.m. Eastern, and I have two sides, two player props, and one parlay for tonight's slate, so a lot of picks to get into. I do like to recap the night before, always, as you know, but it was a very uneventful night in the NBA last night. I mean, we saw the Hornets fall at home against the Pacers. That was a tough one for me. I had Charlotte -3.5. I know a lot of other people had Charlotte -4.5 once some of the injury news came out, and it was definitely a game that the Hornets should have won. They were up three late. They had a 2-on-1 break, and LaMelo Ball threw away an alley-oop that ended up completely costing them that game. And LaMelo, you know, to his credit, actually took, you know, blame for the loss after. He said that he needs to know when to pull it out and make the smart play. And that was actually nice to hear some accountability from him and just some maturity. But man, it was a tough loss. Definitely thought they were going to cover that 3.5 towards the end of that game, but it happens. The other game was the Mavericks facing the Jazz in Utah. And we saw Utah win that one on another, you know, pretty good performance of Keontae George. Not special when you're looking at the box score, only 19 points and 7 assists, but did hit a huge shot at the end and just kind of continues to look the part of like a borderline all-star. And that's why I think he's the most improved player. I think that there have been a lot of other players this year that have made major, major leaps, but there has not been anyone that has gone from, you know, a shaky rotation player to a core piece of a team as quickly as George has. I know that Denny Avdia has been great, and especially lately he's been putting up some massive numbers, but this should be going to players that make major, major individual improvements. And I think that George has made the biggest one. But yeah, it was just those two games, because we did see the Heat game end up getting postponed because of like condensation on the court or something. So we don't have a lot to talk about for last night. We will get right into these games for tonight. Like I said, I have five plays for this evening, and I'm going to talk about most of these games. I usually like to skip a bunch. I'm only going to skip two tonight. I'm going to skip Kings Warriors because I do think that is a very just lopsided game. Golden State's favored by like 14 points, and I actually lean Golden State in that game. I'm not going to end up playing it. Like, you know, I don't like to play double-digit favorites in the NBA, but I do think that's a game that the Warriors are going to win somewhat comfortably. They've been playing a little bit better lately. The Kings are pretty lifeless, so I think Golden State's got a shot. And then the other game I'm going to skip is Wizards-Pelicans, and that's just because it's a terrible game. There's really nothing else to it, but I mean, the Wizards are also kind of dealing with the delay in a Trae Young trade. They moved, you know, CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert for Trae Young. That trade has not yet been made official by the league. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're waiting for physicals. Maybe they're waiting to try to get a third team roped in. I know that the Hawks are interested in Anthony Davis, but it has not gone through yet, which means no McCollum for the Wizards tonight. Kispert was already injured, but it's just not a game that I really have a strong feeling on. I mean, I do have the Pelicans as a minor lean if you're like desperate for something there, because I do think that New Orleans should be able to handle a team that's completely depleted when looking at the rotation. I mean, losing a player like McCollum, it shouldn't be, you know, devastating for a team in 2026, but when you are a team that lacks depth, it definitely hurts. So I would say the Pelicans find a way to get the job done on the road. I think they're a little bit more talented, but don't want to get too much into that game. And I'm not going to talk about Raptors Celtics now, but I'm going to talk about it later, because the Celtics are probably my favorite money line, you know, parlay anchor for this evening. And I will just kind of loop it in with one of the games later. So you are going to hear me go in order with these games, but I'm going to skip Raptors Celtics for now and get to it a little bit later. So we're going to start with the 76ers at the Magic tonight. This is a game where the 76ers are 3.5-point road favorites. Total's 226.5. And this is a game where I actually took Philly on the money line at -145. I just kind of think the injury report looks a little bit better for the 76ers, which is not really something you'd ever expect to say. But Kelly Oubre Jr. is back for Philly. Joel Embiid is questionable. I'm not sure if he's going to play. I hope he plays, but that is really the only major absence that you might see on the Philly side. But, you know, Orlando continues to play without Franz Wagner. They continue to be without Jalen Suggs. And I do think that the Suggs injury in this game is going to loom pretty large, because if Embiid's out there, he's going to be able to put whoever the Magic have on him at the center spot in a torture chamber. Like, he has been a lot better lately when he has been on the floor. But even if he's not out there, not having Suggs and his elite perimeter, you know, defense at the point of attack to defend guys like Tyrese Maxey and VJ Edgecombe just feels like a huge, huge absence. And I know Orlando has some other capable defenders out there. I like the way Anthony Black defends, but just not having Suggs' toughness and physicality is really going to hurt. And this is also a Sixers team that is 29-12 straight up as road favorites under Nick Nurse. They've also won four of their last five games. And over the last 15 games, they're 9-6 with a plus 3.1 net rating, a top 10 team in the league. You know, we're looking at the advanced numbers. And in that same span, the Magic have a minus 3.9 net rating. This just has not been a, you know, trustworthy team. It has not been a reliable team. And I do think that that's going to catch up to them against a Sixers team that's starting to play some really good basketball. And one last thing I'll mention is Orlando is a bottom 10 team in the league when looking at half-court offensive efficiency. Philly's a top 10 defense in the league in half-court efficiency. So I just think it's going to be a slog for the Magic. And I do think that the Sixers are going to be able to create, even against a Magic team that I think is pretty solid defensively. The next game on the list that I want to talk about is the Clippers at the Nets. Clippers laying 4.5, totals 215.5. I don't have anything in this game right now, but I do have some pretty strong leans. I really think this is a game that the Clippers should handle their business. The only reason I'm not actually taking it is Kawhi Leonard is questionable. And this is a Nets team that has been really solid defensively lately. And I do think that without Kawhi, it would be a little bit difficult for the Clippers to kind of generate the types of looks that they need to generate against a team that has been dialed in on defense. So I think you need to have Kawhi out there to make this play on LA. And I think I'd be willing to do it in a bigger number if you know for a fact that Kawhi is playing. But as of right now, it's just a lean to the Clippers side for me. And I think that, you know, one thing I want to mention is that, you know, they're coming off a pretty bad loss to the Knicks. They lost by double digits in New York a couple of days ago. And I think that maybe that gets you kind of wondering whether or not Los Angeles is about to start sliding again. But this team also lost to Boston by 31, over the weekend. And they bounced back and they beat Golden State on the road. So I'm really not too worried about this team's like ability to fight back and claw back. I think that right now, what we're seeing is, you know, a rejuvenated Clippers team that needs to be treated a little more like the team from last year than the team from this year. So I think that they deserve the benefit of the doubt. I think that they can bounce back from that bad performance against the Knicks and come out and play a good game here. And I do also just kind of think that this is a game that might end up being low in scoring. I just think that these are two teams that are definitely going to try to play a little bit slow. And like I mentioned, Brooklyn's been really good defensively over the last like month. This is a team that's really bought in to what Jordy Fernandez is preaching on the defensive end. And the Clippers, they play a little bit slow. They like to defend themselves. So I think this is going to end up being a pretty ugly game. And one last thing I should mention, by the way, with in regards to the Clippers being the lean for me, there is a pretty big gap between these teams. When you're looking at net rating over the last 10 games, the Clippers are plus 6.3. The Nets are plus 3.4. And while that might not seem huge, the reason I think it's significant is because Brooklyn's playing kind of a little bit over their heads over the last month or so. I think that this is a Nets team that's going to fall back a little bit. I think the Clippers are going to stay kind of where they are. And I also think the Clippers plus 6.3 net rating is really impressive, actually, when you think about the fact that they lost by OKC by 21 points kind of to start that 10-game stretch. And they also have a 31-point loss to Boston in that stretch. If you take away those two games, that number would be way, way higher. And I do think, like I said, they deserve to kind of, you know, throw away a game or two here or there. So I think the Clippers and the under are the leans in this game, or the plays in this game, if you will. I just kind of don't want to take it until I know a little bit more about the status of Kawhi Leonard. He's just been on an absolute heater, and it's tough to ask the Clippers to do much without him. Thunder Grizzlies is the next game that I have that I want to talk about. The Thunder are 5.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 229.5. It tips at 8 p.m. Eastern. This is an absolutely insane injury report when you look at it, especially for OKC, but honestly for both teams. But for OKC, there's no Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no Chet Holmgren, no Cason Wallace, no Isaiah Hartenstein, and Alex Caruso is questionable. So five key rotation pieces, the MVP of the league, just a lot missing for this Thunder team. And then on the Grizzlies side, it's no Ja Morant again. He's dealing with a calf strain. That is like the scariest thing you can deal with in the NBA right now. Teams are very worried about calf strains leading to torn Achilles tendons. And it makes sense to be very careful whenever you have a player with an injured calf. So I don't blame them for taking things easy with Morant, even if, you know, the end goal for Morant is to trade him at some point. But no Morant for Memphis. Also, no Zach Edey, no Ty Jerome, no Scottie Pippen Jr., all those guys that have been missing time, you know, regularly this season. And Cedric Coward is questionable. So this is just a game that's really, really hard to read. I want to say that Memphis has done enough, even without Ja Morant, to find a way to keep this game close against a depleted OKC team. But at the same time, the Thunder will still have Jalen Williams out there. And their depth on the perimeter is, like, insane. Like, I just rattled off a bunch of names that they're going to be missing tonight, and it might be Caruso too, but they still have Lu Dort. They still have A.J. Mitchell. They still have Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe. Like, this is a team that's going to be fine on the perimeter. They're going to knock down threes. They're going to have some guys that create some offense. I think A.J. Mitchell is always capable of having big games when Shea's out. I actually looked there for player props, and I just thought his point total was a little high. But where OKC is hurt without, you know, Hartenstein and Chet is on the inside, where they're going to be playing like Brandon Carlson and whoever else at power forward and center. And I just kind of wonder if this is a team that is going to be able to be bullied a little bit on the inside. And that's why I'm going back to Jaren Jackson Jr., over 26.5 points and rebounds at -120. Hasn't been the most reliable player for me when I've backed him, but over in four of the last seven games, I do think he's going to look a little bit tougher, a little bit more physical against the players that OKC is going to have playing at power forward and center tonight. And I do think that, as always with Jackson, you can always count on some strong takes to the rim. You can always count on some threes. He hasn't shot the three ball well lately, but I do think he can knock down one or two and just kind of help this total a little bit. But yeah, I think this is a game where he has six or seven rebounds, and I think he's going to have 20 points. So I think that going over on points and rebounds with Jaren Jackson Jr. is a really good play for tonight. And then, yeah, this is another game where, like, I just think that there's going to be opportunities for a bunch of different role players. So if you're looking for player props somewhere, I think that you should definitely look to this game, because a lot of guys, especially on the OKC side, are going to have opportunities that they don't normally have. And then one other thing I want to just say, not gambling related, but Nikola Topic's manager tweeted yesterday, or not tweeted, I saw a tweet yesterday, I guess about a statement that he made, but it does sound like Topic is done with chemotherapy and seems to be, you know, kind of nearing a return to action at some point soon. It seems like it's going to be probably in the G League to start, and they'll see kind of how he, you know, responds and maybe get him out there for some NBA action later in the season. But just awesome news that he was able to kind of get through chemo so quickly. I mean, he had testicular cancer. It was something that was, like, really, really scary earlier in the year. And there's been some videos lately of him kind of training through, you know, the treatment and being on court and trying to get some work in. But just awesome to see that, like, the kind of, I don't want to say the worst is behind it. You know, this stuff is always tricky, can always come back. But it's nice to see, you know, kind of one, you know, step forward, I guess, in the process of trying to beat that thing. And hopefully we do see him out there towards the end of the year. And hopefully this is the last we hear of it for him, because obviously that's something that nobody should have to deal with. And hopefully no one does. Moving on now to Hawks at Nuggets. This is another really interesting game to me. The Nuggets are laying 1.5 points. Total's 234.5. It's interesting because now this is kind of the official move forward without Trae Young. And I know the Hawks have been playing without Trae lately already. I think that a lot of people believe that this team is going to be really, really good without Young, at least in the regular season, maybe not in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But it is a game where I think that the best play that you can make is Jamal Murray to go over 9.5 assists at +100. The reason that I have that is because in the four games that Murray has played without Nikola Jokic this year, like since Joker went down with that knee injury, his playmaking numbers have been absolutely insane. He's averaging 20.5 potential assists per game, 13.0 adjusted assists per game. And then over the last two games, like a smaller sample size, but just what we've seen, like last two against pretty good opponents, the Nets and the Celtics, 16.5 assists per game, actual assists per game, and 24.5 potential assists per game. We are just getting to see Jamal Murray as an actual point guard. He is a point guard. He is listed as a point guard. That's always been his position. But actually seeing him getting to run the offense and not seeing Denver run it primarily through Joker is definitely very interesting, because we're seeing a different side of Murray than I think that we ever thought was possible. This is a guy that we've always thought was, you know, a good playmaker, but a great scorer. But now we're seeing that he's a great playmaker when given the chance to do it. And I do think that this is a matchup where he can easily have 10 plus assists. I know that the Hawks defense has been better without Trae Young, and I think that a lot of people expect this to be a borderline top five defensive team without Young moving forward. But like the entire season's body of work says that only four teams in the NBA are giving up more assists per game to opponents than the 27.8 assists per game that the Hawks are allowing. So this is a team that does allow players and guards to rack up assists. And I still think that there are some defenders in this rotation that are a little bit careless, with Jalen Johnson being one of them. Like I always said, kind of when you throw shade at Young's defense, like you have to do it at everybody else that isn't playing great defensively. And I think that Johnson was just as bad as Young defensively, which is crazy to say for a player with his size, length, and athleticism, but he falls asleep off the ball a little bit. He doesn't seem that active as an on-ball defender. And I just think that there's going to be ways for opponents to kind of now pick apart the Hawks' defense. It's just going to look a little bit different. And, you know, it's going to look like, you know, they're going to have to look at some film and see what this Hawks team is without Trey. And now that they know that Trey's not playing, it's a little bit easier to scheme for a Trey-less Hawks team. And I think that, you know, Atlanta is going to be a little bit worse than people think without him. And I do have a lean on the Nuggets in this game. I think that, you know, if Christian Brown, Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray are all out there, even with no Joker, no Valanciunas, I think this is a game that they should find a way to win at home. It's just such a tough place to play. And like I said, I'm not as high on Atlanta as other people are, even without, you know, without Trey and, you know, with, you know, some of the, you know, better numbers that they've had with Trey off the court this season. Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now and get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks and prop data through the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting better today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. The next game that I have that I want to talk about, I do think this is a sneaky game of the night contender, is the Knicks at the Suns. Knicks laying 1.5 points. The total is 228.5. This game tips at 9 p.m. Eastern, and in some ways, this is a Zach Cohen Bowl. If you actually care about who I root for, I am a Suns fan, used to be a Knicks fan. I moved from New York to Phoenix like 5 years ago during COVID, and about 3 years before that, I had started rooting for the Suns because I had been sick of the way that the Knicks were running their organization, and now I absolutely despise New York, and I love Phoenix, and my friends back home in New York absolutely hate that, and they love to give me crap for it, but that is just the reality of my life right now. So this is a game that I really want the Suns to win a little bit more than I want normal ones to win, and I think that, you know, hopefully there's not too much bias bleeding through when I talk about this one, but I do think the Suns are an interesting play in this game. It's not an official play for me. It's a lean, and I wouldn't even say it's a strong one, but I do think that this game sets up pretty well for Phoenix to win outright. This is a game that they can absolutely win in Mortgage Matchup Center. So the reason that I like it is the Knicks are without Josh Hart again. That is a player that I think is so important to their identity. This is a New York team that has just been terrible defensively without him. I mean, over the last 10 games in general, this team is the third worst team in the NBA when looking at raw defensive rating. And I just think that Hart being out is a big part of that. He's a really good perimeter defender. He's a really versatile defender and also good on the glass. So, you know, can keep opponents off the glass, helps, you know, the Knicks keep teams from kind of racking up offensive rebounds. And just over the last 10 games in general, not even looking at defensive rating, the Suns are 7-3 with a net rating of plus 7.8. That's the third best mark in the entire league. In that same span, the Knicks are 5-5 with a net rating of minus 3.7, 21st in the NBA. So this is a Phoenix team that's playing some much better basketball than New York right now. And I think that, like, the natural reaction here might be to think that, you know, Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns and then in these Knicks will be able to kind of dominate in a half court setting because of how special Brunson is offensively. And there's a chance Brunson puts up huge numbers in this game, but Phoenix is number 6 in the NBA in half-court defensive rating. And I do think that that's going to be a factor here. So the Suns are very, very organized defensively, and they're very organized in general. Like, Jordan Knott is one of the best teams, best coaches in the entire NBA right now when talking about X's and O's, motivation, everything. I just think that this Suns team is not perfect on the offensive end of the floor, but they are great defensively, and offensively, they're going to scheme up something to take advantage of a New York team that is absolutely terrible on the defensive end. So I think this is a really, you know, decent spot for the Suns, and I do think it's a game they win. The reason that I have some pause is that, you know, I do think New York looked a little bit better in their win over the Clippers at MSG the other night, winning by 12. And I do think that over, you know, kind of like looking at the big picture, I do think the Knicks are a better team than the Suns. So, like, it wouldn't be crazy to me if the Knicks won. I just do think that with Hart out and given kind of the recent form of these two teams, the spot kind of lends itself to Phoenix. But, yeah, it's not enough for me to actually get in on the Suns. Another game I want to talk about, one that I actually do have a play in, is the Rockets at the Trailblazers. This game tips at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Rockets are 6.5-point favorites, totals 221.5. And I am actually going right back to a play that I had the other night where I took the Blazers plus 7.5. I bought up a little bit to minus 127. I was able to buy up to plus 7.5 at minus 126 tonight. And I just don't really see any reason why this spread hasn't moved down a little bit. I think it should have gone to around 5.5 or so. So I think you're getting decent value with the 6.5. The reason I bought to 7.5 is because I got it at a better price. And that is a key number in the NBA, as I've talked about here before. But this is another game where the Rockets are going to be without Alperen Şengün. I mentioned it last time I talked about this game. I'll mention it again. Şengün is one of the best offensive players in the entire NBA. He's one of the true kind of like playmaking hubs that you have in this league, like a big man that you could run offense through and just kind of dump it into him and know that a good shot's going to get off, whether that's him creating in the post and scoring for himself at the basket or him finding a teammate for an open three or finding a cutter for a dunk or something. He is a great, great playmaker and a great scorer. Just not having him against a Blazers team that is pretty solid defensively feels like it's going to be a massive loss. And we just kind of saw it last game. I mean, Kevin Durant played a really good game in a loss in Portland. It was a 103-102 win for the Blazers. And Durant just doesn't have a lot of help offensively when Şengün's not out there. And I do think that the Blazers can do a little bit better defending Durant than they did the other night, especially with, you know, a couple days to sit on it and look at some film. And I don't know that the Rockets are going to have an answer for Denny Avdija again. The guy scored 41 points and looked just, you know, unstoppable attacking downhill against that Rockets defense. I think you're going to see another strong performance out of Avdija. And, you know, the trends that I gave out last game only got a little bit better with the, you know, win outright for the Blazers last game. But the Rockets, just 6-12 against the spread as road favorites of 6.5 to 12 points under Ime Udoka. Meanwhile, the Blazers, 7-3 against the spread as home underdogs under Tiago Splitter. Also 9-2 against the spread as underdogs of 3.5 to 9.5 overall. And the Blazers are 6-1, both straight up and against the spread over their last seven games. They're on a four-game winning streak. I think this team is playing too well to be getting this many points at home against a Rockets team that is missing an all-star. I think I'll happily lose on this tonight if I have to. This feels like the right side to me, and it was a no-brainer for me to go back to it. The last game of the night, probably the game of the night, like for normal people. I mean, I thought Suns-Knicks has a shot of stealing it, but this is the one that I think everybody wants to look at. It's the Bucks taking on the Lakers in L.A. Totals 229.5. The Lakers are 3.5-point favorites. This game tips at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And this is a meeting between Luka Doncic and Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is always exciting for all NBA fans, and it should be exciting for all sports fans. This game will be on NBA TV, so it'll be regularly available for everybody. So it's one that everyone's going to be able to watch. And this is a game where, honestly, I lean Bucks plus 3.5. I just don't have the cards to take it. And this is where I'm going back now to that Celtics game I mentioned before that I didn't want to talk about until now. I'm taking a parlay of Celtics money line versus the Raptors. And then I'm taking the Bucks on an alternate spread of plus 8.5 versus the Lakers. And that pays out at minus 118. I'm playing that to win 1.5 units. I'll get the first one out of the way first. With the Raptors and Celtics, it's just a Boston team that's much better than Toronto. And also, like, you add on top of that the fact that the Celtics are the best three-point shooting team in the entire NBA, and the Raptors are one of the worst. I think the math battle is going to be a little bit overwhelming there. And then for Toronto, you also have Jakob Poeltl out, and Scotty Barnes and Brandon Ingram are both questionable. So if either one of those two guys misses the game, or if both of those guys miss the game, it's going to be a really, really tough one for Toronto to win. So I'm really confident Boston handles its business at home. And then with the Bucks, we'll talk about the 3.5 first. Just in general, this Bucks team has been better than the Lakers over the last 10 games. They have a net rating of plus 1.6. The Lakers have a net rating of minus 5.4, and Milwaukee has been better on both ends of the floor. So Los Angeles, they've been pretty bad defensively pretty much all season, but they've been one of the worst teams in the league defensively over the last like 2 months. But you'd usually expect them to have an advantage over a team offensively. they haven't had that, at least when looking at the recent numbers with Milwaukee. I think that Giannis makes this Bucks team completely fine on the offensive end. He's surrounded by three-point shooting and guys that know how to get themselves open for three-point shots. And I do think that that's going to just kind of show itself against this Lakers team that is just so, so unorganized on the defensive end, and just so many guys fall asleep, they get out of position. I do think that the Bucks are going to just kind of light them up from three. And I think that Giannis is going to look unstoppable attacking the basket, as he always does. And I think he'll get to his mid-range when he wants to, but I'm not even sure he's going to need to take a lot of jumpers in this game. I think he's going to be met with very little resistance when he drives to the basket. And then if he is, if they double him or they show help, like, he's going to kick out to guys like AJ Green, Ryan Rollins, Kevin Porter, Kyle Kuzma. These guys have all been doing their jobs, knocking down threes. And I just kind of think that they're going to, like, pick apart this Lakers defense. And then defensively, Milwaukee's a solid team. They get to go against Los Angeles. That will be without Austin Reeves again, one of the best offensive players at the guard position in the NBA. So you have to go against Luka. Obviously, you know, LeBron and Rui Hachimura are both questionable, I should mention. It seems like both of them will play, so there could be help for Luka. But I just don't think that this Lakers team is all that good right now. I think that Milwaukee is a rock-solid team. So I think this is a game the Bucks can keep close. I just didn't want to take the 3.5. It wasn't enough for me. I ended up taking, like I said, that 8.5. I would do that at 7.5 too, just for whatever reason. I was able to find an 8.5 that was the same price as the 7.5 when I was pricing out the parlay. But yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting game, but I do think it's one that the Bucks can win outright. I think Milwaukee is really starting to play some much better basketball, and I'm not going to overreact to the loss in Golden State the other night. They kind of came on strong towards the end of that game. And it was really a game where when Giannis was out there, I thought that they looked quite strong in general. And I just think that, like, this is a game where you won't feel Giannis's absence on the bench as much as you did last game, because the Lakers are also lacking, like, high level depth. I mean, yeah, like I said, they played well in Giannis's minutes against the Warriors, plus three in his 31 minutes of action. You're going to get 30 plus minutes from him from tonight. And like I said, I think that the Bucks depth will not look as bad against a Lakers team that I think lacks depth. So I think Milwaukee's the right side there. But like I said, I have the parlay with the alternate spread of plus 8.5 with the Celtics money line. Before we recap our best bets, if you're looking to sharpen your edge this NBA season, VSiN Pro is where to start. Get advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights used by serious bettors every day. Try it out for only $9.99 for your first month and see what smart bettors are using to beat the books. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and check out all the subscription options. I've mentioned it a lot on this podcast. I do a lot of tennis stuff for the website. That is stuff that you get as a VSiN Pro subscriber. We have the Australian Open coming up, so I'm going to have a ton of content for that. Whether that's tournament previews and futures or daily best bets, you'll have it all from me. And I'm already throwing picks up on the Pro Picks page. So if you are a VSiN Pro, you're getting my tennis picks. And I'm up actually over 100 units in tennis over the last 3 years. I never thought I'd be able to say that, but it is a sport where I do feel like I have a bit of an edge. So if you like tennis, or if you just like betting in general and are open to watching tennis, I think that, you know, the VSiN Pro subscription is worth it for that alone. But then you also get all the work from all of my talented colleagues. We're doing a ton right now for the college football and NFL playoffs. The shows are just covering college football and NFL all day. And, you know, MLB is right around the corner. My boss, Adam Burke, managing editor of VSiN.com, does as good of a job with the MLB as anybody on the planet, I think. So I really think that this is a great time to jump in on the subscription. $9.99 for your first month is an awesome deal, but also, you know, getting 50% off the annual is also a great deal. So definitely head over to VSiN.com and check out what we have to offer. But for tonight, my Friday best bets, I have the Sixers money line at -145 against the Magic. I have Jaren Jackson Jr. over 26.5 points and rebounds at -120 versus the Thunder. I have Jamal Murray over 9.5 assists at +100 versus the Hawks. I have the Blazers +7.5 at -126 versus the Rockets. And I have a parlay of Celtics money line versus the Raptors with Bucks alternate +8.5 versus the Lakers. That's -118. I'm playing it to win 1.5 units. So it's my biggest play of the day. And hopefully we end up winning that one. We've done a little bit better over these last 2 days than we did over the weekend. Last weekend, it was a tough weekend and a tough Monday, but we're finding it again. And we are up a pretty decent amount on the season. So hopefully we continue winning. And yeah, definitely join me for the Monday edition of Hardwood Handicappers and head over to vsin.com if you want my Saturday and Sunday NBA picks.